Satan and all of his minions are trying to create this super race and take over the world. Just know that while all that's been going on, God has been working his plan.
Yes, he has.
To create a super race of new creation. And every single person watching is a part of that super race.
Yeah.
And it's not based on race or gender or ideology or culture or country. If you've been born again, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Welcome, guys, to a very special edition of The Pulse. And it's kind of a hybrid today. These are the last days. We're having to deal with lots of hybrids. And this is kind of a hybrid between Altered State and also The Pulse. And guys, you're going to like this because I'm going to be talking about the spiritual weapon of Thanksgiving. Dun, dun, dun. So I noticed, guys, that there's already people all over the planet Earth, including my friend in Kenya, I just saw. I see my friend in Pakistan is on right this second. I see my friend down in Rye Vista, Texas, and I saw that you had made two or three, what was it? She made sweet potato pies. She made banana cream pies. She had chocolate pies. Listen, feel free to bless your pastor with a pie. Yes. Guys, joining me from directly across the table is Miss Connie. How are you today?
Hello. I'm good.
Yeah, are you in a good mood today?
I am. It's almost Thanksgiving.
Man, I love Thanksgiving. I think it's my favorite holiday.
It's mine, yeah.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just love Thanksgiving. I love the whole thing of being excited about eating as much as we're going to eat and seeing people and hanging out. And I don't know, but just the whole idea of Thanksgiving is, you know, it's such a kingdom thing.
I got to be honest, mine is mostly because of the food.
Yeah.
It's my favorite food of the year.
Yeah.
And Gran, she used to make extra sweet potato pies and she would hide them for me.
Oh, so you were the favorite.
Yes.
You were definitely the favorite. I was the favorite. I guarantee you, I was a favorite. And my Nana would make me some daggum pies. I promise you, she would, Papa would say, "Woo, she put her finger in that one." That's what he'd say. So, because it was sweet.
Yeah. Sounds like your Papa.
It does sound like my Papa. Right on. Well, guys, I want to welcome everybody here today and call you guys blessed. And got a couple of real quick announcements before we get off into the weapon that you don't want to dismiss, and that is, in fact, Thanksgiving. But, guys, let me tell you all about tonight, because tonight, guys, we are doing the, what are we calling this thing? The after show. That's what it's called. Me and Pastor Alan of the DO are going to be live from this studio at 7 p.m. tonight, and we are going to be showing clips from The Counter, which we released last week, and today is day 7, and we're actually going to be showing clips. We're going to be talking about it, the two of us together. We're going to be talking about portals tonight, and then we're going to be showing clips from the one that we're going to be dropping next week. So episode 2 of season 1 is actually upon fallen angels, demons,
yes.
Nephilim.
So excited.
And it's going to be a hootenanny.
Yeah, it's going to be really good.
So, guys, y'all don't want to miss it. That's going to be at 7 p.m. tonight. So go ahead, and what do you got to do for the thing to remind you that it's on? Isn't there some button you push or something? And it goes like, ring, ring, ring. I mean, y'all have any idea what I'm talking about?
I know that on YouTube, if you subscribe and you hit the bell, then it'll remind you, hey, it's going live.
It's all sorcery to me.
It
is all
what
sorcery.
What is it y'all called it? Technomancy, I think?
Come on, sister. Run on. Okay, so tonight, guys, the Counter After Show with Pastor Alan DeDio, 7 p.m. Set your alarm, make it go off, and you guys join us tonight. I encourage you guys to do that. It'll be across all of our social media feeds. And then tomorrow, guys, we're having a very special Pulse. And it is Thanksgiving with the Brewers. So my son and my beautiful bride and my beautiful daughter-in-law, we're all going to be talking about how wild our Thanksgivings are and our favorite Thanksgiving stories. And we're going to be doing that tomorrow. And I promise you, it'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. It's going to be fun with everyone together.
That is a fun bunch. Yesterday, I went to go see a Christmas movie. And me and Ben went over there, and we decided we didn't want to watch that. And we snuck across, and we went and saw the new Predator movie.
It's so good.
It is good.
It's so good.
I couldn't believe it. There was nothing sexual in it whatsoever.
Right, yeah.
And I don't even think there was any cussing in it.
I can't remember any.
I don't think there was any cussing in it at all. It was a lot like Predator Goes to Avatar.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
It was a lot like that.
Do you have a favorite scene or a favorite moment?
Yes, my favorite thing, like, well, you're a man of God. You can't go to movies. No, this man of God will go to the movies. I promise you. And I will eat way too much popcorn and put you way too much
butter. You have to get a large popcorn with a bunch of butter.
Yeah, a bunch of butter, man. You got to do that, man. I don't know. I need that fix. I don't know, every 3 or 4 years or so. But I recommend, listen, it's the greatest Christmas movie I've seen in a long time.
It's so good.
Predator Badlands.
Yeah. My favorite is like the first maybe about 10 minutes and then the last about 10 minutes. Love it.
It was awesome. I the movie is just fantastic. Just as far as the fantasy of it, it's like, oh my gosh. Anyway.
They developed a great home planet for Predator. They developed a cool world that they went to. They did a really good job. I think it's a great revamp of the whole Predator.
My whole thing with Predator is the brother needs Jesus. The brother needs Jesus. Bad. Yes. I'm talking about bad. He needs Jesus. Okay, I have no idea why we're talking about that movie.
Oh, because you went for Christmas. Oh, yeah. That was the Christmas movie you saw.
Yeah, exactly right. Okay, well, there you go. Well, now I shared that with everybody.
Yeah.
Very helpful. Also, I need to tell everybody that we have the counter merch at troybrewer.com. And if you don't know about all of our cool new swag that we have at troybrewer.com, and you need to go there and you need to check it out, because we got all new hats, all new shirts, all cool. I don't know. The girls came up with all of it. So
yeah. And I would mention that we have really cool Black Friday deals going on at the Troy Brewer store.
I forgot about
that. We have 30% off on the entire store, and then BOGO for New Beginnings.
Come on.
26 tickets.
Really?
So, yeah. So buy one, get one 50% off.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Buy a ticket, get 50% off. And our giant Black Friday sale is happening. I don't know what day of the week, but I guess probably Friday, right?
Yeah, I think we might even. We've posted in the comments that if you want to jump in on that BOGO ticket price, the code
is
BOGO50.
What does that mean? What is
buy one, get one? It's just the acronym.
BOGO.
Yeah.
Buy one, get. No, wait, that don't work.
Yeah. Buy one, get one. BOGO.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, this is why you never want to miss a single episode of The Pulse. Thank you. All right, so guys, all that's going to happen this coming Friday, which is awesome. And then I got to give a great big shout out and tell you guys, whenever we released the counter last week, whenever we did that, honestly, we were all, our guts were hurting over it. I mean, we've been working on it. This has been a year and a half long project for me. For the media team, it's been like a 7 or 8 month project. And man, we all got together and then we released it and boom, it was so successful. And people are loving it. And I want to say this to you. If you're like, I saw it, I love it, I love it, I love it. If you want to leave a comment about that, if you'll put a whole bunch of explanation marks and then put your comment on there, I'll give you guys a shout out and we'll do that. And I also want to say this too. If you have questions, list your questions, put a whole bunch of question marks out there and list your questions for me, because tonight, one more time, I'm going to be doing the after show with Pastor Alan DiDio at 7 p.m. tonight, and we're going to be going through the entire 1 hour, and we're going to be discussing all of it. And then, of course, guys, we're going to be getting ready, and we're going to be discussing next week's topic. Now, one of the ways that we know that this thing has been successful is we have had so many people sign up for ODX. Oh, guys, listen to these numbers. This is only in 1 week, okay? We had 489 Stage 1 partners. 489. Guys, thank you. Thank you so much. You ready for this? 133 Stage 2 partners. Whoa. And then we've had 22 Stage 3 partners. Like, oh my gosh, including Sheila from Alabama, Jenny from Montana, James from Florida, Dodie from Texas, and many more. Right on. Okay, what is that? That is the money that we use to rescue and to raise kids all over the world. And friends, we are literally campaigning. We're trying hard, man, to raise millions of dollars for additional homes and additional rescues. And we are in the midst of building the one and only home in all of the nation of Mexico that is for boys. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. I went and looked at property here today and looked at some property near Glen Rose because we need some property here, and there is a lot of girls that have already been rescued that are on the coast, and they need to move away from their state.
Right.
And they're saying, Papa Troy, you guys got a place for us to come? One girl has been prostituted. She's in her 30s, and she was literally abducted when she was 16 years old, and she's been owned by other human beings since she was 16 years old. She's free. She's no longer on drugs. She loves the Lord Jesus Christ. She just got her GED, and so she's trying to get educated again.
Right, yes.
Getting her driver's license, all the things, because she's missed her entire life. She's literally been a slave since she's 16 years old. There is a whole bunch of girls like that all over the country, girls that I know, that we could take care of them here.
Right.
And so I went and I looked at a piece of property today, and like, okay. And it's out in the middle of nowhere, and it's beautiful, and it's on the river, and like, okay, you know what, man? I think that we need to do this. Guys, maybe you guys could stand with me in that. I'm believing God for a $5 million miracle, just telling you that. It takes $4 million for me to finish every single project I have all over the world. That's a $4 million bill. And this other place is about $1 million. So I'm believing God. I mean, why not? Hey, right, man, will you guys stand with me and believe that the Lord does a $5 million miracle with us? Like, I cannot believe you're even saying that, you joker. It ain't for me, dude. It is to rescue slaves all over the planet Earth. And I know that Jesus has a heart for that. He's the one who has commissioned us to do that.
Exactly. And I love when people are like, you know, the Lord will bring provision for the vision he's given you. And it's so true, because whatever it is that he calls you to, he calls you to step out in faith, yes, but he's faithful. So that's always, I mean, you're always on a firm foundation when you remember that, hey, the rock everlasting is the one who called me into this.
Come on, sister. Right on, right on. So as always, I want you guys to be in prayer for me. I'm always biting off more than I can chew. And I'm always in way over my head. But hey, man, we have a very short lifetime, and we got to make a big difference. I mean, this brother's about to be 59 years old. Can you believe that?
Oh my gosh, no, I can't.
Believe how old I am?
I was watching like one of your old shows just to grab notes, and it was 2021, and you were like, I'm about to be 55. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's almost 60 now. This was a while ago.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I slept with all my daggum grandkids last night, so I feel like I'm 92 today.
Recovery.
Man, those kids kick, man. I'm talking about, they kick worse than a mule, man. They kick all over me. They brought the cat into bed. They brought the dog to the bed. I just laid there, man. I mean, I had kids on this side of me. I had kids on this side. I had one above my dadgum pillow, and they all just wanted to sleep with Papa last night. So,
oh,
I
said, well, that's sweet, though.
Oh, no, it is sweet. They're all out of school, and you know, it's okay. They're all happy. They're out of school, and they come running out there and playing around the ranch, run around barefooted.
Right, definitely, yeah. Core memories.
Yeah, that they're forming, they're, yeah, they will. And you know, what's really cool? They only know me as this guy.
Yeah.
That's what I love about my grandkids. Yeah. They only know me as this guy in this phase of my life.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know me in the house that had no electricity and we had no glass in our windows.
Yeah.
They didn't know me in that. You know, my kids knew me as that.
But I'm sure that this is fun for them.
It
your kids
crazy.
Getting to see the new phase of their dad now with their kiddos.
No, it is awesome. Well, guys, buckle your seatbelts, because we are about to talk about thankfulness. And we're going to talk about it as a weapon. And do not forget to like this and share this and do all the things. All right. You ready to get off into this?
I am. It's going
to
be really good.
Should I say anything else?
I think we already reminded everyone that.
I think so.
Hey, you know, check out our store for Black Friday sales, because it's really good.
Okay.
Oh, and our new signups to ODX. They'll definitely want to check out tickets, because the ODX gathering will be happening.
Yes. All right, guys. Here we go. So the theme that we have for this whole week is thankfulness. And I want to just tell you this. Thankfulness is a cure to crazy.
Yeah, that's, yes.
You show me somebody that's full of drama and somebody's crazy, I want to tell you, thankfulness will not be at the top of their agenda.
Definitely not. A lot of times, I've seen so many people say that came out of a heavy depression. What they did is they got outside of themselves and they started helping someone else, or they joined some kind of volunteer ministry, and it pulls them out of it.
Yes. I know that this is crazy, but I've done so much work in the 58 nations I've been in that this is going to sound absolutely nuts. I have done so much work where people do not have electricity that electricity is actually a wonder to me here.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't
and I just
sound
sit
nuts.
There, I know that sounds ridiculous. I swear it's not ridiculous.
No.
I just go, God almighty. And every time I get in a shower, and I'm big about it being so hot, it just nearly kills me, right?
Yeah.
I like it hot, hot, hot. And like get in there, and I just think, God, I'm so grateful I have hot water.
Oh, yes.
Because I've come across so many people that are so much better than me mm-hmm. that did not have hot water, didn't have any kind of water.
Yeah.
And like, no. So there's two things that happens out of that. Number one is I would get determined I'm going to fix that and I'm going to upgrade somebody's life and we're going to change that. Because if I do it for them, it changes the entire region if we can dig a water well there. And we're approaching 1,100 water wells we have dug throughout the world, which is ridiculous.
That's amazing. Yes. It is. It's ridiculously awesome.
It is crazy. Jesus. But the other side of that is once you do that and once you weep with people that don't have water, for the rest of your life, you get it that I don't have water because I deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have running water and I don't have hot water because I deserve it. I have running water and hot water because I'm blessed. And I live in a nation where that actually happens.
Right.
And I can afford the water bill.
Yeah.
And thank you, Jesus. And right. You just start going through okay, that's the cure to crazy.
Yes. And you are so good at pointing it out that, hey, even in the midst of the burden that it comes with, okay, you have electricity, you have water. That means you have bills to pay. That most likely means you have a mortgage or a rent to pay. Yeah, those things seem burdensome, but you're way more blessed than what the burden seems like. And it's that whole scripture where it's like, don't keep the ox from being able to eat while he's treading out the grain.
Yep.
There's a mess. Oh, and the there's a mess in the stall with an ox. That's it. Like, hey, there's messiness that comes with blessings.
Yeah.
But it's still a blessing right there in the midst of it.
I promise you, man, you do want an ox in a stall.
For sure. Yes.
Like, yeah, but I don't want to deal with the mess. Too bad. You do want an oxen stall.
Yes.
You do want hot and cold running water in your house that doesn't kill you.
Yeah.
You do. You want that. Now, but then I'm going to have a bill and then I'm going to have the, oh my gosh. Like, man, no, listen, what's real is, guys, we want those things. And whenever we get those things, your fascination with the Father's heart will cause you to be thankful because you're like, okay, I start off going, dude, there's so many people. Like, it's just such a privilege to be able to go to the refrigerator, open up the refrigerator, and pull something out that is fresh and good and just eat it anytime you want to, which is why we're also dadgum fat, which is awesome. Okay. I know people, and I have known people all over the world that is a wonder to them. I mean, a wonder. And so the idea is once you fix that for other people and once you live your life dedicated and committed, man, to fixing that for other people, you got to keep it a wonder to you, a wonder to you. Like, well, no, it's just like being married. It's the same thing. All these things always come back on this is how you have a good marriage. My wife should still be a wonder to me. I should still be blown away that the woman loves me. I should still be fascinated with her in some way or another and just go, okay, I have to be committed to that. And you have to be committed to thankfulness. Thankfulness is something that you have to commit to. And that's what Colossians chapter 4 says. In Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 2, it says that there are three things that we're supposed to be devoted and committed to. And one is prayer. The other one is being watchful. And the next one is thankfulness. If we are not committed to thankfulness, we will not be committed. We will not be thankful because it is not natural to be thankful.
I think it's so powerful what you just said that so much of what it is to be an overcomer is it comes back to being married. And I think that's because it's covenant. And our marriage with, you know, our earthly spouses is supposed to be a mirror image of our covenant and our marriage with King Jesus.
Yes, ma'am.
And so when you learn how to be thankful in your covenant with King Jesus, I think that pours out into, you know, being thankful for your spouse and whatnot. But I think the power in what you just said is that in covenant, you are thankful and you have to be intentional about being thankful.
Okay. How it works with the Lord whenever it comes to thankfulness is this, like, okay, like I can tell you this. If I am thankful for God speaking to me, I will go after God speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not, I won't go after it because I just think I deserve it somehow.
Yes. Whoa, that's so, yeah.
All right? And I don't deserve it. There's a lot better people than me that have never heard God speak. It wasn't that God didn't speak to them. It was that they didn't hear them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really and truly believe that God speaks to everybody.
Yes, me too.
Through everything. And so that's a huge value that I have. But my thankfulness is also very attractive to the Lord. And he's like, oh, look, that brother's thankful, man, when I speak to him. I think I'll just talk to him again. And it's one of the ways that God will set us up for victory is he will meet us in places where we are thankful.
It's so, yes, that's so true. And I feel just when you said, hey, like when you are thankful, it attracts more thankfulness, mm-hmm. or it attracts the Lord, and he does more so for more thankfulness. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we don't necessarily understand it at the time period, but I feel like we're building up an account. And it's not like we're, I don't know, it's not like we're trying to manipulate the Lord or in any way or anything like that. But I feel like we're building up an account on our behalf that so the Lord good. Is then going to like, okay, this is the moment for this to pour out, or this is the season for this to pour out for this person. Or, hey, in this situation, I'm going to use that thankfulness that they've had as a weapon in the middle of this.
You know what? I think that, I think that one of the reasons why we're so active in the things that we do, you know, we were talking about the food bank this morning, you know, mm-hmm. Our food bank just went down to Kerrville this morning, and Pastor Chris is down there and gave away tons and tons and tons of food. We're still helping all the victims of the Kerrville flooding. We're still down there. We're still helping them. And then yesterday we had a tremendous food outreach at the baseball stadium in
Cleburne.
Yeah, in Cleburne. And then Saturday, I mean, look at this. This is just yesterday. And by the way, it was raining. And look at all those good, godly people out there that are just helping people. All of that is food that is from the Open Door Food Bank, given away with no strings attached whatsoever, just in the name of Jesus. Right on.
Oh, the littles.
Isn't that
cute.
Awesome? Don't you love it? I think it's so cool, man, that parents have their kids out there. And I just absolutely love that. Like, man, let's go. So that was taking place yesterday. And then Saturday, we had a tremendous outreach out in Walnut Springs. Like, why you guys feed people so much? Because I'm thankful that I have it. That is a big motivation to be able to be active in the kingdom, is just being thankful.
Yes. And I think thankfulness moves us with compassion. Mm.
Yeah, because if you're not thankful, it means you think you deserve it, which means you believe in a class system.
Yeah.
I'm better
than
somebody.
And that's pride.
It's pride.
And that's a thing that's abominable
Before
the Lord.
Okay, so we got these abominable scriptures here, okay? Now, let's talk about an abomination here for a minute. Because the word abominable is a crazy cool word to me.
Yeah. But it sounds cool for
one. It's got a lot of syllables in it. Abominable.
Yeah.
Abominable. It's crazy.
You can have a train wreck if you go too fast.
And it also describes an entire sentence. It's one word, an abomination. Like, okay, abomination is one word for a whole bunch of things. It's kind of like the word Hosanna. If you say Hosanna, 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 it's like a whole, it takes a paragraph to explain what the one word Hosanna translates into. It means you're the king, and I am your loyal subject, and I need that to be reciprocal, and I need you to help me. I need you to deliver me. Okay, how you say all that is Hosanna.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The word abomination means that is something that is so filthy and so grotesque, it makes me want to retch. It means a putrid, horrible, stinking thing that makes you want to retch, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say that that's a taste. You can say it's a sight. You can say it's a smell. But it's like as soon as you see it, you go, and yeah, there you go. Okay, there is a word for that in the Bible. And God uses this word to describe a lot of things. That to me, it just makes me want to throw up. Like Jesus would never say that. Yeah, he does. I will spew you out of my mouth. That's the New Testament version
lukewarm.
Of it.
Lukewarm,
yeah. Yeah, you're lukewarm. You just make me want to puke.
Mm-hmm.
What? That don't sound very nice.
Yeah, but first, before you jump into this, I want to preface it by with the bullet point that got us to abomination is that thankfulness is compatible with the presence of the Lord. Worship is compatible with the presence of the Lord.
Mm.
So because of that, you can't come into his presence with something that's not compatible.
Come on, sister.
And the opposite of being compatible is being an abomination.
Okay. All right. Thank you for marching all that out, because we're talking about his manifest presence. You enter into his courts with praise. You enter into his manifest presence with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving and praise is how you enter. So we're talking about Like, I need Jesus to show up. Okay, you're going to have to be humble, and you're going to have to be compatible with his manifest presence.
Right. And you, I loved when you said this. You said, and by the way, it's God who gets to say what's compatible and what's not, and what's abominable.
Yeah, because
he gets to make that decision.
Because, see, you're not Cain.
Right.
And that's what Cain said. No, no, you'll be compatible with this. And he's like, no, I won't. I told you, I get to tell you what I'm compatible with. Mm-hmm. So when something is not compatible with his manifest presence, where he's like, I cannot live in the same, it's kind of like, I can't live in a house with a corpse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Just can't do it. Just can't live in a house with a corpse. Okay. That whole thing, God Almighty says that lack of thankfulness is an abomination to him. Mm-hmm. Abomination.
Abomination. And so some of the things you listed out, like, hey, these are a couple things, just a couple, that these are things that the Lord finds abominable. And one of the things you said is accusations. And that puts us directly into the seat of the adversary. Mm-hmm. You said making your own demands, kind of like what Cain did. Like, no, you get with my program. I'm not going to get with your program.
Oh, my God.
And then a haughty spirit, which is pride.
Which is pride.
These I'm better things than are everybody abominable. Else.
I deserve this, and God, you have failed me. Okay, here's something. I'm just going to just tell you this. That is an abomination to God that God deals with all human beings at some point in our life, and it is this. Why? All right, like, what are you talking about? When you come before the Lord and when you ask him why, it's accusatory. Mm-hmm. It's like, you should have, but you didn't. Mm-hmm. And it truly is an abomination to him. Now, he puts up with it many times because he loves us and we are his kids. And he puts up with it the way that I would put up with one of my grandkids. Mm-hmm. Okay. At the stage that you're in right now, and because you're heartbroken, because you're shattered, I'm going to love you through your whys. But it doesn't mean that you're ever going to get them answered.
Right.
Because we do not get the whys of life answered.
No. And we see that with Job.
We see it with Job. That's the entire book is about the whys of life, the entire book. And then when he says, okay, and he cries out, he says, God, why did you, you know, so our perspective of the book of Job now is so different now that we understand sacred space.
Yes.
Because he was not in the land of Israel. Israel wasn't even a land yet. He was supposed to be serving other gods in the place he was at. And God is the one that pointed him out and said, you know what? I got some people on your turf who love me with all of their heart. And it's like, well, then I get to do this, I get to do that, I get to do that. Well, yeah, you do, because you're the God of that region, right?
Right.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm not going to let you kill him. Like, yeah, I will get him to cuss you, right? And they were even aware that all he had to do was cuss God. Curse God. And even his wife said, just curse him. So I don't know that there wasn't some entity or some unholy angel that told him, you know what this is all about, right? All you got to do is curse God and game over. Because they had knowledge of it. They had knowledge that all he had to do was curse God.
They were much more aware of these things than what we are now.
Way more aware. So then finally God shows up, and I love what God says. God says, okay, big boy. Hey, man, you've been hollering at me. And then he says, gird yourself like a man. Okay, that's one of my favorite King James terms.
It's hilarious. Yeah, it's awesome.
I love it. It means put on your big boy pants.
Yeah.
Gird yourself like a man means put on your big boy pants, because we're going to have a big boy conversation.
Yeah.
Here I come. And he shows up. He goes, where were you? And he just starts going off all these things. He says, how much does the world weigh? Hey, can you loose the bands of Orion? Have you seen the seven sisters? Do you know about the great bear and her three cubs? What does that point to? Well, you don't know any of that, because that is pre-kindergarten stuff, and you're wanting me to discuss the whys of life with you.
To answer to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, no, I want you to answer to me. I don't think that we realize that's what we're asking when we come before God, and we're like, why did you do this?
We got to be careful with that. I want to encourage everybody and just say, And most of the time, if we're going to ask God why, it's either going to be some kind of abominable pride, or it's going to be out of being broken, so broken and shattered. And I think that the Lord will meet us there in that place, but that doesn't mean he's going to answer the why. You're going to have faith quakes in your life. You will have a faith quake. They're like, not me. I'm rock solid. Okay, Peter, get ready to hear the rooster crow, because everybody goes through a faith quake. Everybody does. It's a normal part of the process. And a big part of the process of that is getting past the why. A great big part. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now that I said that, that doesn't mean that you don't get to ask any questions. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost shows up, mm-hmm. when God Almighty redeems what he did at the Tower of Babel, yeah. right? It's the whole redemption of the Tower of Babel thing. When he shows up and he does that, they ask two questions. And these are two questions that everybody ought to ask that is found in Acts chapter 2. And the first one is this: what does this mean? And the second one was, what should I do? Like, okay, this changes everything. How?
How do I get with the program?
Exactly right. How do I change? Mm-hmm. How do I own the impact of this? What does this mean? And then what should I do?
Oh, whoa. It's like, how do I connect the dots in this?
Come on, sister.
Oh, awesome.
And those are really good things. Well, I want to just mm-hmm. tell you, you'll get in the healthy, right places if you're thankful. And if you're thankful, it's compatible with the Lord. Okay, so we're talking about the abomination.
Yeah.
Which I'm telling you, unthankfulness is an abomination to the Lord.
Right.
It stinks. It makes him want to retch.
Yeah.
It makes him want to puke from his toenails.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one of the things. And then you go into, especially the Old Testament, which I love, but then you go and you look at some other scriptures where the Lord lists off, hey, these are other things that I need you to be. I need you to be incompatible with these things so that you're compatible yes. to my presence.
Yes. And again, I'm telling you, thankfulness is an indication of pride and a haughty spirit and all those different kinds of things. You can just cure all that. You can cure mm-hmm. all of it by repenting and being thankful.
Right.
And being committed to it. Being committed to thankfulness mm-hmm. is a big deal. A big deal.
Right. And it's, I think, I love that it's another thing where it's like, okay, you have to be intentional. And there's so much, I feel like that we're like, oh, you know, I can kind of just coast by on this, or I can kind of just, I've done it once and that's enough. Like I said, yes. And so obviously I love you or whatever. And it's like, no, even in the midst of Old Testament covenants, there were so many times where it was reaffirmed through a sacrifice, through a praise, through a declaration, mm-hmm. through a confrontation, sometimes no. even from the Lord. Like, hey, no, look, you are betraying this covenant, but because of your forefather
well,
who was faithful,
David.
I'm staying faithful.
I'll like, kill you.
It just, there's a reaffirmation God, that happens.
God continues to show up after King David over and over and over again and yes. says, I ought to kill you dead, but I won't because of your father, David.
Because of your father, David, yeah.
He says it over and over and over again. The craziness.
That's the power of covenant.
That is a power of covenant, sister. That's so good. So you know about the abominable snowman, right?
I do.
Okay, so I know a bunch of squatchers. I know a bunch
I'm
of
sure.
them. They're out there squatching right now. They've never been kissed in their life and will never have a girlfriend because they're out squatching. But now that I've said that, I mean, dude, you can only take so much nerd, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that is ridiculous. All right, now that I've said that, well, I went out there and knocked on a tree. Well, don't do that. You're going to get a knock back. What did you think was going to happen?
Right, what did you think was going to happen?
Don't do that, big knucklehead. All right, now that I've said that, on the other side of the world, yeah, on the other side of the world, you have, like, I've been all over the Himalayas, and, I mean, I've actually even been to
Mount Everest.
I've been to Mount Everest. I swear I have.
In the janky helicopter.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. I just went to base camp. Like, what? You just went to base camp? Like, yeah. Base camp is at 18,000 feet.
Yeah, it's not a little.
It's 19,000 feet, actually. And so I go, it's then, a lot. And then to climb up to the top is another 10,000 feet. It's 29,029 feet tall.
Once I learned that there's been, you know, people that have passed away trying to make that. Yeah, they leave the bodies.
Ain't nobody going to haul that body down.
No, yeah.
What are you going to do? Go up there, climb a mountain? However crazy you think it is, because I've seen it. However crazy you think it is, it's way worse than that.
Yeah, no
thank
you.
I mean, we got in a helicopter and went up there, and I could see the people as we got up. I don't know. We got up at about, I would say, probably 21,000 feet, 22,000 feet. Mind you, without oxygen. And I mean, without oxygen, it was the worst headache I've ever had in my whole life.
Bet.
And I mean, it took me days to recover from it. I mean, days. And it was horrible. It was horrible. It was bad. Leanna had the time of her life. Yay, I love it. I love it. That's anyway, I could see the people on the side of the mountain. I could see them. And I mean, you wouldn't believe what that mountain is like. It's insanity. Now that I've said that, in that part of the world, the Bigfoot creature that runs around up there, he's called the Abominable Snowman. And the reason why he's called the Abominable Snowman is because he stinks really bad.
So gross.
And it's like, they're like, man, you smell that? Like, is Ben Brewer around here?
Oh, no.
What is that? No, that's the Abominable Snowman. Oh, that's what that is. Okay, so it's like, oh, he smells like death. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he's a spirit. He's a Nephilim. He's a hybrid creature. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I imagine he does smell like death. Okay, what smells like death to the Lord Jesus Christ is lack of thankfulness. And it is not compatible with his manifest presence.
Right. It's just so against his nature. So against, like, his heart. I think that's might be an easier way to say it. It's so against his heart and the way that he operates. It's just, it's outside of his kingdom.
I want to tell you, when you are married and when your wife gets all mad, and whenever you get with her and say, what is the matter with you? And if she says, you are not thankful for me, that is a problem.
Yeah.
That is a problem. You will not be compatible and you will lose hope if you believe that your spouse is not thankful for you.
Yeah, you will.
You will not be compatible.
And that's, yes, like you, that will directly correlate to the hope that you have for the relationship. Is my spouse grateful?
Yep.
Yeah.
Come on. All right. So, guys, we've been talking about Thanksgiving here all day long. I'm about to answer a couple of questions here. But I want to just ask you, are you thankful? Are you dedicated and are you committed to being thankful? Is your life about, I want to be more thankful tomorrow than I actually am today? And are you committed to it? Like, no. If that's how Jesus wants me to be, then that's how I've got to be. And to that, I say, that's true. You know, during this Thanksgiving season, you can actually apply your heart to be committed to faithfulness and thankfulness more than ever. In fact, I want to pray with you. Wherever you're at all over the world, I want you to pray with me right now. You guys ready? So, Father God, I want to lift up my friends, God, that are watching all over the planet Earth. And I pray, Father God, sir, and God, we repent for not being thankful. We repent, Lord. And Father God, sir, thank you. God, we just want to say thank you, God. And God, we want to praise you, sir. And God, we want to honor you, sir. Guys, just let the Holy Spirit do a work in you right there where you're at, wherever you're at. And I declare the manifest presence of the Lord Jesus Christ shows up for you in a whole new way because God Almighty in heaven is responding to your thankfulness. Jesus' name. You guys see that ink on my hand? It's because I've been signing books. Oh. I just signed another 4 boxes of books.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Can I mention one really cool thing that you said? Ma'am. You said to, I typed it out because I was like, I don't want to forget. You said to be able to be thankful has to do with an awareness of how blessed you are and how blessed you are to have God Almighty in your midst and how dependent you are upon God. That you're totally dependent upon his presence and you're dependent on who he is. And it made me think of Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, because he starts it off and he's saying, he says, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and you would keep me from evil, that I would not cause pain. So he recognized, you know what, the Lord has blessed me. So in the midst of this blessing, I am going to ask, I'm going to call upon the Lord. I'm going to call on his name. And I know that he's going to show up for me in my request because I've been thankful. I've been grateful for how he's already shown up.
Come on. That's really good.
Yeah. And then there's, I think it's in Proverbs. It talks about, hey, recount the blessings of the Lord. So it's that whole collect the dots. Connect the dots.
Count the blessings.
Recount his blessings and praise him. Be thankful towards him. So So like once you're so good at when you talk about collect those dots, connect them, mm-hmm. and then praise the Lord for them. Like it's your responsibility to see the goodness of God in your life and to come before him in recognition and in gratefulness. Like, hey, Lord, I see what you've done. I see how you've been faithful to me. I see your goodness, and I'm not going to not acknowledge it. I'm going to acknowledge it before you. I'm going to, I don't know, like to me, I can just see you like putting a stake in the ground. Like this is a marker. Look, the Lord has been good to me here in this place and in this place and here in this place. And after a while, you just have a trail, a pathway of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living that you see over your lifetime, over your timeline even.
Outstanding. Esther says, so thankful that God wakes us up at 2 a.m. to listen to Pastor Troy and Cotty. Esther, what part of the world are you in?
Where are you, Esther?
My goodness.
That's cool.
Listen,
though.
I bless you. Father God, sir, bless Esther in Jesus' name. Bless her. I call her blessed in the name of King Jesus, Lord God. I pray, God, that you visit her, Lord, with a strong visitation. Give her peace and rest tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I just saw a question on here. Can we go up just a little bit? Okay, so right there, wait. Yeah, right there. Okay, so Warrior Michelle asked this question. Is a church-only marriage still sacred and blessed in the eyes of God? Does God bless a church-only marriage, or do we have to go through the government? That's a very interesting question. So, I mean, I wouldn't even think of anybody asking that question.
Yeah.
So, sorry not. So, well, no, you don't got to go through the government. It's a kingdom issue. So, you got to go through the government as far as whatever benefits or rights or how it's recognized among the government. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so if you got married and if you didn't want to do the paperwork on that, I guess that would be your business, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's that your covenant of marriage is a kingdom covenant. And so, I mean, me and Leanna, we registered and we got married. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't know if I had some reason not to do that, I would go, yeah, I don't think I would register.
Yeah. I thought of when, it's Isaac, when he met Rebecca, they didn't have a ceremony.
Listen, I used that scripture. I tried it out too. I tried it out on Leanna. It didn't work. Like, look right here, the word of God. Yeah. She said, no huggy, no kissy till I get a wedding ring.
Good.
That's what she said. Yeah. But listen, I promise you, but it wasn't from lack of trying. I was a young man. Tell you that. Okay, all right. So that's another great question. So what's another question on there, buddy? From Kimberly. Yeah, that's I think that's a great question. So help me rephrase that question so that everybody can hear it. Are you standing in an accusatory place if you're warning somebody about witchcraft or saying you need to get away from that person or something like that? Do you feel like that is? It certainly can be, it can be, but it doesn't have to be. There are people who just don't have discernment about the people that they hang out with, and you got to tell them. I mean, you have to tell them. You got to go, hey, dude. I'm not here to slander that person, but you need to get the heck away from that person. That person is no good for you whatsoever. And I do that all the time. And there's a lot of people too, just a lot of people. Look, Hilmer is in Iceland.
Oh,
Hilmer,
cool.
I call you blessed. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody from Iceland in here before. Hey man, God bless you, brother. I welcome you and call you blessed. That is amazing. And so, yeah, I do that all the time. It's just a matter of friendship and a matter of discernment. And I mean, dude, I've had people like, there've been people that I've done ministry with for years and years and years that I just go, you know what? I'm your friend, but you're not my friend. And I'm not going to be in partnership with you anymore.
Yeah.
We're just not friends. And like, I'm not going to do that. Now I don't got to go slander those people or jump on any bandwagon or whatever, But if you were to ask me personally, hey, how come you're not doing ministry with this person or that person tomorrow? I'll say, because it's not reciprocal. It's good for them for me to be a part of it, but it ain't good for me. And they don't care. And I know a lot of people that are like that. So I don't think that that's slander. I don't think so. I just think it's just real. You got choices to make. And, man, you got to help your friends make good choices.
Yeah. I just thought of that. I don't know its address, but I think there's a scripture, and I think it's Paul, where he talks about some you have to save by, like, you know, there's the threat of hell and fire, yeah, and some can
having
save.
Compassion. It says. Yes. So, yeah, so that's in the book of Jude, I think. It says, and some having compassion, making a difference in others, save with fear from the fire, like, yes, terrorize the snot out of them. Yeah. It's like, wow. Okay, right, yeah, on. Okay. Okay, so what else? You got another one on there? Yeah, no, I see that on there. Yeah, so the whole 6-7 thing, that is a mantra. It's a mantra. Don't be letting your kids say that. It's the same as say his name. It's just like Black Lives Matter. It's a demonic organization. You don't want to be a part, yeah, of that mess. It's the same as shelter in place. It's the same as trust the science. Those are Luciferian mantras that cause people to come into agreement with something that's going on that it may even be. I want to say it's the same as teaching your kids to say trick or treat. I would not teach my kids to say trick or treat. Yeah. Like, you're stupid. That's just a culture. I totally get the cultural thing, and I'm not against that. I'm not religious. Mm-hmm. I'm not being religious at all. I'm not. I'm just saying I don't think that we need to come into alignment with these things.
Right. And that's the whole thing. They have these types of mantras and these sayings and whatnot because it's for your alignment. Because, mm-hmm, once you align with whatever you align to or align with, it has access to you and it has access through you. So, and with that 6-7 song, even if you were doubtful of, like, oh, well, is it really a mantra? The guy, the rapper who made that song, openly practices witchcraft. Mm-hmm. He talks about it openly, very openly.
The song is one of the stupidest things in the whole world. The, mm-hmm, song is just a bunch of gibberish. So, yeah, it's a lot like, and what he does is he puts this curse and he does his mantra, he does a spell. He puts out this song that's just got a lot of gibberish in it, hoping something will stick. And boom, you talk about something sticking.
Right.
I mean, it's stuck and it makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's just about alignment. And so I would say 2000% that is a demonic. It's a demonic way to get people. It's how witchcraft works, guys. It's how it works.
It is.
And you say the spell.
And when I first heard, I think it was with, it was when you and the counter guys got together. I think it was with Bishop Aladdin Dio on his YouTube channel. And y'all talked about this. And Tony Merkel was talking about how the lyrics, if you read them, they're all a bunch of gibberish. And it reminds him of some of the witchcraft emails that he gets. And that it just looks stupid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? That's a calling card of the demonic. Because,
right,
you talk about going across the border into Mexico, mm-hmm, and the corporal, I think, or the general, whatever he, mm-hmm, was, and how he was, like, you know, dressed to the nines in his military outfit, crisp, like not a speck of dirt or anything on there. And then, well, you can tell it better than I can.
I had just got through telling my boys, I said, look, if this guy has a demon, he's going to start doing really stupid stuff. Because listen, man, being demonic does not make you smart. It does not. And you're like, what is that? Because self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So the more demonic you are, the less self-control you have. Okay? Mm-hmm. You have no self-control. And so I promise you, the devil has no self-control.
Right.
Right? Like, oh, he's so cunning and he's so whatever. And he's an opportunist. That's what, mm-hmm, he is. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
Right.
He's looking for opportunity. And so that's what but he has no self-control. And so we're there, and I tell him, I say, yeah, if this guy's a demon, you watch, he's going to do something crazy. The guy comes over and says, what are you guys going to do with all this food? Hey, man, well, we're here. We're going to feed your people. We're not selling it. We're giving it away. And we're going into the trash dump, and we're here to feed people. And he said, well, I'm not going to let you guys buy. And we said, because, you know, what he wants to do is he wants to steal it, you know, mm-hmm, he wants to steal it and he wants to sell it. And so I said, well, Man, you need to rethink that, because Jesus is here and Jesus sent us here, and we're doing all this in the name of Jesus Christ. And I said the name Jesus several times, and all of a sudden he was just sitting there and he was looking at, he had this full freaking super nice uniform, not even a speck on him. Everything was in perfect order. And he reached in the back of my truck and he pulled out a thing of flour and he took the top of it and just started dumping it on top of his head. And he goes, "You can go." And he just started laughing and he walked off. And I was like, "Y'all see that?
Yeah.
I told you, dude. I told you." Flat out, that was a demon.
So, yeah.
And I give you my word as a man of God that that happened. And everybody in the truck, including my son and my son-in-law, J.C. Ledbetter, they all saw it. And they were like, "What the?" I said, "Yeah, dude, when they manifest, they mm-hmm. they lose their minds. You know, whenever you cast them out, what do? They flip-flop around and scream and holler and yell. I mean, they have no, they're miserable creatures."
Mm-hmm.
Miserable.
Yeah.
Which makes me happy.
Yes. And so so when I saw that Tony recognized the stupidity in that, I was like, "Oh yeah, that makes sense," because that's just kind of a part of that whole operation when it's found out and when it's confronted. And it just makes me think, if they can get you involved and lined up with that stupidity, they're like perfect.
Yeah, going all the way back to, you know, the Beatles, the Beatles changed the world with their music and not all for the good, you know. Yeah. One of my favorite songs that they do is exactly one of these witchcraft songs.
Yes, I know.
And you know which one I'm talking about, yes. Right? And so here come old Flat Top, he come moving up slowly, he got, the whole song makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Juju eyeball, I can go on and on and on and on. He's got feet down below his knees. Well, who doesn't have feet down below their knees?
Yeah.
Okay. What is all that? Okay. That is a calling card of witchcraft to get you to say, no matter how ludicrous bippity boppity boo somebody just asked about.
Yeah, I saw that.
And like, okay, that is a calling card of how that actually works. Mm-hmm. And so, no, do not cooperate with it. Just start saying Jesus, 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 Jesus. Learn the word of God.
Right. Yes.
And speak the word of God. Hallelujah. You got another question over there? Okay, so somebody's asking questions. Okay, I'm not sure what I got a green light for. Give me some kind of help with, okay, I need to know if this is God want me to do this. I need to know if it's God that, I, or if it's the devil that's keeping me from doing it, and you're just in a place of transition and you're not sure what to do. Okay, so my philosophy on that is quite different than most people's, because I'm a doer. So I believe I have a green light for everything unless I get a red light.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how I think. I think that Jesus doesn't care what I do as long as I keep moving the kingdom forward.
Yeah. I think you see that when the parable of the talents.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't tell them step by step, this is what you do.
Yep.
He was like, "No, go make it happen."
So I'm not looking for a huge confirmation of things to do. If I think I need to do it, I just do it. What I'm looking for is to be sensitive to the Lord saying, not this time. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says that Paul was on his way to a certain place and the Holy Spirit forbade them.
Mm, yeah.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, "Hey, we're supposed to go all the world and we're supposed to preach the gospel," unless the Holy Spirit shows up and says, no, you don't want to go there right now. And so that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that. And, so I don't know if that's helpful. Like this property. Okay. Like this property I went and saw today. I know that it's God's will. And what I mean by God's will is I know that it's God's heart for us to rescue girls,
mm-hmm.
for us to raise them, to bring them into the admonition of the Lord, to help them raise their babies, to treat them with dignity instead of like prostitutes.
Yes.
To see them as holy instead of drug addicts.
Right.
And all those kinds of things. I mean, and we're really good at that.
We are, yes.
That's what we do. So, like, okay, well, how do you know it's God's will for you to buy? It is God's will for me to buy it. Now, that doesn't mean I can, but it is God's will for me to buy it. So here's what I do. I make an offer.
Mm-hmm.
I do all my research, all of my diligence, make sure everything is cool, and then I make an offer, and then I give it 30 days. And if it, like, I know for a fact that if I got this property, I'd have to put $200,000 down. I don't have $200,000, but that ain't keeping me from going out there and making an offer. If I go out there and make an offer, and if I put it down, and then the $200,000 doesn't show up, I'll go, okay, sorry, I just don't have the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you're really good too. Like,
real simple.
If that doesn't, if it didn't go the way we would want it to, I think you're really good at saying, okay, that doesn't mean it wasn't the Lord's will.
Yeah,
and it doesn't mean that I failed in the midst of this.
I just couldn't make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, man, we miss a lot of miracles. Not because, you know, we're terrible people, but just because we don't know how to cooperate with it. And so I try really hard, and I want to cooperate with it. I want to be brave, and I want the Spirit of the Lord to think I'm funny because I'm so crazy.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that I win in everything. Right. You know, it doesn't mean everything works out perfectly. But it does mean that God can count on me to get after it.
Yes. And you have an amazing teaching where you go into this, like, a whole bunch of detail when you teach about, like, the difference between living in the wilderness and living in the promised land.
Yes, ma'am. So in the wilderness, you have a no until God gives you a yes. You're not allowed to do anything or go anywhere unless God specifically says, now we're moving this way.
Mm-hmm.
And when he stops, you stop. The lesson of the wilderness is, do not get away from God.
Right. No matter what, stick with him.
That's the lesson of the wilderness, because you'll die. You better learn that lesson. Then you go into the promised land, and then the Bible says, and the manna ceased.
God, such an awesome. It's just
I
so
love
cool.
that verse, man. Like, guys, so epic. It's just a simple, and the manna ceased. Like, everything changed on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
And then God says, go, and I'll back you up. Meaning this, in the wilderness, you have a red light until God gives you a green light. In the promised land, you have a green light until God gives you a red light.
And it's a word on maturity, really.
Yep.
Too. And in the manna stopped. Like, I can see different areas in my own life where it was like, okay, you're in this place, you know, and the Lord is, not that he's never kind, but he's so kind, he's so patient, he's dealing with my meltdowns and my emotions and all this stuff. But then you get to a place, okay, and the manna stopped. It's like, okay, in this area or whatever this is, you're a big girl now, you've been trained, so you know what to do.
Here it is.
Yeah, here Let's it go. Is. Enter in.
Yeah, exactly right. Up until now, I have encouraged you to do it. Now I'm making you responsible for it.
Yes.
And that's the difference. You know, there's times that God will encourage you to do something, and there's times where God says, I will hold you responsible for that.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Mm-hmm.
Give me my money. You know, you can't ever imagine Jesus being the kind of God that would say, give me my money. And yet, in the parable of the talents, that's what he says. He shows up, and there's this huge accountability thing. Say, okay, give me my money. I gave you five. Mm-hmm. What are you going to give me back? Five more. Awesome. Okay, I gave you two. What are you going to give me back? Two more. Excellent. What about you? Well, I was scared I was going to screw up, so I hid it, and here, I'm giving it back.
You're a hard taskmaster.
That's exactly
right.
It
was also accusatory.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And he was accusatory, and he said, I didn't want to screw up, so, you know, who knows what's going to set you off, God? So I just, here, I gave it back, and he called him a wicked and lazy servant.
Yeah.
He's like, I want my interest. It's amazing to me that the Lord would use a parable like that, because he gives a curse after curse after curse in the Old Testament over the principles of usury. Interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, do not do that. Do not do that. But then he gives a parable of himself saying, I demand entrance.
Yeah. I expect.
Yeah.
And expect an increase.
He's something else. There ain't nobody like him.
He's so amazing. He's so good. But, there was something I was just thinking of that goes along with this. Oh, my gosh. It's the parable of the talents.
What are you doing?
It'll come back.
Okay.
Green light until you get a red light. Responsibility, maturity. Oh, yes. So there's a lot of times.
Way to recall something.
Yeah. So a lot of times I kind of look at different people and I'm like, you know, why have they been in this certain area of their life or this certain issue? Why do they keep struggling with this? Or why haven't they been able to get past this? Why haven't they matured in this? And it comes back to that whole, there's a point in time when the Lord will encourage you to do something. And then there's a time when he he's like, okay, you're responsible for this. And I think it's a kindness of his when there's like there, when you're not so I think it's a kindness of his if he keeps me from being responsible for something that he knows I won't mature in order to do, because then I would be held accountable for it. And instead of having to be held accountable for it, I think he just, there's parts or times where he's like, okay, you're not gonna conform your life to the image of this. So that you're not held accountable for this, so that you're not held responsible for it, you don't mature in this. And that could be wrong. That's just according to my understanding now.
That's good.
And that's what, like, I think that that's a kindness that he gives or shows, that he doesn't make you responsible for things that you won't. Well, no, I'm not wording it right, but I think you understand what I'm saying. I don't think I'm sharing.
I have
it
no
well.
Idea what you're talking about.
I'm sorry.
Just so you know, it's okay. I mean, do you have another question?
The last one.
What? What is your question? Yeah. I want to tell you this before. Yeah, I would love a picture of a dog named Duke. What a weirdo. Come on, bro. Of a dog named Duke chewing on a deer's jawbone. And by the way, if you were going to ask me what that meant prophetically, like if you had a dream and it was a dog named Duke and it's chewing on a deer's jawbone, I would say this is a season to be John Wayne. It's the season to John Wayne up. That's what I would say that means. All right, we done? Okay. All right, guys. Well, I think good job today, Miss Connie.
Thank you. It was fun.
Hey, listen, I'm gonna let you close up and remind everybody what all we got to remind people. But guys, do not forget, it's Thanksgiving, and we have to be committed to Thanksgiving. We have to be devoted to it, devoted to prayer, to being watchful, and to Thanksgiving. And to Thanksgiving, the Book of Colossians tells us that. God bless you so much, guys. I'm gonna turn this over to my good friend.
Oh my gosh. Well, hey, everybody. It was so much fun to be a part of the Pulse and join y'all in here today. I know it's been a while, but it's been good. So closing up, just want to remind everyone that our counter show, the new show, The Counter, it is available. You can watch it, the first 30 minutes of it on YouTube and socials. But if you want to see the entire episode, you have to be a part of ODX stage 2 or stage 3, at least stage 2. And then you get the entirety of the episode, the entirety of the discussion that the Pastor Troy and the counter group go through. It's so amazing. The first episode on portals is just mind-blowing. Just to get that group of godly men together to talk about these topics is so powerful. Speaking of The Counter, tonight is going to be Pastor Troy and Bishop Alan DiDio with The Counter after show, recapping the amazingness that they had in episode 1 and getting everyone prepped and ready, and a little bit of a teaser for episode 2 that's on Fallen Angels. So make sure you tune in. That's going to be across all socials as well. Want to remind everyone about our new cool The Counter merch. So much fun. A whole bunch of new designs and like even a jersey that the group came up with that's really cool. And I don't want you to forget about the really cool Battle Cry cards that we have, that you can get a card for each episode. There's 9 in total. You can get the bundle, or you can just buy episode by episode. You can either do the physical copy or our digital download. That's available on the Troy Brewer store, along with all the other counter merch. Speaking of the Troy Brewer store, we're getting ready for our Black Friday sales and deals. We have 30% off the entire store. Yeah. And for New Beginnings tickets, it's a BOGO 50% off. You just put in the code BOGO50, and that's it. And for all of our new ODX sign-up partners, guys, y'all definitely want to look at coming to the New Beginnings Conference if you can, because we're going to be having our ODX gathering. So that would be your welcome into the ODX family. You'll get to meet everyone. You'll get to meet, like, Shay, Rebecca, Pastor Troy, obviously, and just the team that makes this happen. And you'll get to hang out with your fellow ODX family people, and that'll be so much fun. Get to see each other face to face, hug each other's necks. Let's see, what else? Oh, yes. So on here, just a reminder about the Night of Redemption with Eden Church. That's Pastor Darren Stott's church that Pastor Troy was just recently at. I actually got to go back on ODX and watch that. If you're interested, you can too. It's so good. You get to see the vision of what's going on. You get to see the heart of all these amazing pastors and people that are coming together to make a huge impact for King Jesus in the PNW. And you'll also get some more understanding for, you know, this is what we're going after now with getting a property here in Texas so that we can get these girls and rescues away from the dangerous situations that they were in the PNW, and get them in a different location so that they can't be found, or, you know, can't really be found. And I know that y'all understand that because we do that a lot, even with our rescues in different countries. A lot of times we'll have to relocate them for safety. And so, look, this is the same thing in our own backyard, and y'all can jump on board and be a part of that as well. But it's, if you go and watch that, the Night of Redemption at Eden, it's so powerful, and it's just really cool to get to see. You know, these are the cool people that partner with us. These are the people that love us and the ministry that we do. And it's really just a privilege that this is something that we get to be a part of. But other than that, if you want to know anything else, you can honestly go to ODX. You can check out our social media, and you can call us at 877-413-0888. And please do call us for prayer. And if you know, I know that we are like in a whole different season and so much is going on. And I really think that the Counter Show is just a godsend in this season for everything that's happening in the spirit and in the natural. But hey, you are not alone. If you need prayer, if you need, you know, someone to partner with you and to go to war for you with spiritual warfare, especially, call us. We're a 24/7 call center. We love you. You are our partners. You are our family, and we are here for you. We want to stand with you. And even better, if you want to get any product, if you want to check out any of our resources and you need more information, then call us. But remember, we are always here to pray for you. And I just want to close with that. And I want to say thank you so much for having me. It was so fun to join y'all. And like PT always says, you are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord.